If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Watch Moses. Moses, my boy. Verse 16. Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us? So shall we be separated from what? From the world. You're separated from the world because of the presence of God. That's what separates us. Not our doctrine, not our Pentecostal beliefs, but it's the presence of God enveloping you. It separates you. Watch. In verse 13. Moses says, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way so that I can know you, that I may continue to find grace in your sight. And please be mindful that this nation is yours. And the Lord says, in answer to verse 13, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Then Moses says, if your presence doesn't go with me, then don't take us any further. He said, how else is it going to be known to the crowds around us, to the races of people around us? How are they going to know that you're with us if it's not by your presence? And listen to verse 17. If you notice in 13, it's answered by 14. 15 is God's response. I mean, Moses' response to God's talk in 14. 16, he continues on to clarify his desire in 15. The Lord comes and responds to verse 17, and listen to what the Lord says. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. What thing? Moses hadn't spoken anything. God already answered and said, my presence will go with you. And Moses just said, well, if your presence don't go, don't let us go from anywhere else. He has not requested anything else. He just said, how else are the people going to know that we're yours unless it's by your presence? But because the atmosphere was changed, God knew that Moses could not articulate what he really wanted. Here's a man in Exodus 3 that had talked to God from the burning bush, but now it's from a cloud. God graduated from the burning bush, which was designed to get his attention, to the cloud, which was relational. In other words, even your walk with God must change. The way you met him should not be the way you engage him later. Before, when you met him as a sinner, it was fearful. You didn't want to go to hell. But now it's not fearful. Now it's Daddy, Abba. The atmosphere's changed. Watch God. He said, I'm going to do the thing that you've spoken. For you have found grace in my sight. Listen to this. And I know you by your name. Now, what's the big deal? God knows everybody by the name. But that's not what God was saying. You ever run into somebody after you've been successful and they're giving you this doctorate degree in systematic theology and 47 other people are there to receive their degrees and everybody out in the audience watching you on the stage get your degree? And they call you up by your name. Yes, we will now confer the PhD in systematic theology to Dr. Reverend Dr. Harold J. Comstat. And Harold J. Comstat walks over and he flips the tassel to the graduate position and he receives his lambskin and with great boldness in articulation, he stands before the people and he says, I want to give honor to Jehovah and his son Emmanuel for calling and ordaining and anointing me to sit and receive this great honor. I want to thank the doctoral staff for helping me to reach this great position, to my family who has stood with me, to have helped me during my times of study and academic presentation. And the people stand up and they give a suburban hand clap. Bless him, Lord, bless him. He gathers up his robe with the three doctoral stripes. He walks off the stage to go back to his seat with the rest of the doctoral candidates. And all of a sudden, someone says, way to go, Pookie! And he becomes embarrassed. Oh, God, who invited them? Aunt Sarah called me, child. We be proud of you, Pookie. Remember when we used to sneak in the movie? Please, I'm with my doctrinal friends. Remember when we used to rob from the A&P? Guess I got to call you Dr. Pookie now. Because there's always somebody who remembers what you were. That's what God was saying to Moses. He said, I know you by your name. I know where you came from. I know where you were. Watch this. Even though you're my anointed prophet, I know you stutter. I know that you stammer and takes 5 minutes for you to say hello. Said, I know that you lack confidence. I know you're scared. I know that you have doubt for leading 3 million people. I know you by your name. I know every part of you. I know you killed an Egyptian. I know you ran out and started taking care of sheep. I know that you'd be nothing without me. But guess what? None of those things are going to stop me from using you. So whenever you feel sadity, get over yourself. For none of us would be anything without God. And Moses could not disassociate himself with what he was. But God is saying, look, I know you. I know your name. I know your history. And that's what makes my anointing so special. Because I accept you for who you are and make you what I want you to be. So that none of us will get a big head. Watch Moses now. He says, when confronted in verse 17 by the inefficacy, his inability to be something great because of his past. Remember, he's a stutterer. He lacks spiritual training. He says to God, it's time to change the atmosphere. Verse 18, after God says, I know you, he says, show me your glory. I've got to push past this limitation. I know now that as I move your people into deeper dimensions of spiritual reality and bring them to places of God's rest and comfort, show me your glory. Notice the response of Almighty God. He who says, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord Elohim before thee. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But you can't see my face, for there shall nobody see my face and live. But the Bible says that Moses talked to God face to face. But now Moses was saying, no, what I see is not deep enough. I need to see something greater than where I am. It's time for a change. I've been coming in here day after day seeking you since we built this tent. I've been coming for worship. I've seen the pillar of cloud. I've seen the pillar of fire. But I know there's something greater. Now show me your glory. God said, I can't do that. I can't do that because if my glory was to come down from the way you want it, I will create such a vortex of glory and power. It'll suck the air right out of your existence. You'll die, not from a curse, but because my glory is so powerful, the human body cannot stand it. That's why I say flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, can't inherit it. Why? Because it's so powerful. When the anointing is released in full power, you are worn out because the body cannot absorb the total production of the glory of God. And so Moses said, show me your glory. God said, I can't do that because nobody can see me full array and live. He said, however, verse 21, there's always a however with God. He said, there is a place by me, which means he's standing. He said, see that place over there on that, in the cleft of the rock? I'm going to hide you right between that rock. And Lord have mercy, the rock is Jesus. The reason we can't see the glory of God is because we're in sin. But the moment we stand on the rock, Christ Jesus, notice what God says, I'm going to cover you with my hand. And the hand of God is typical of his power. And what is the power of God? The preaching of the cross is the power of God. So what he's saying is if you are standing on Jesus and you're wrapped up in the gospel, you'll see my glory. And while my glory passes by, I'm going to take away my hand and you're going to see my glorified back parts. The atmosphere must be changed. It's changed through desire. We see Moses' desire is to get to know God intimately. In the book of Philippians, Paul has the same desire. The Bible says that Paul gets to this place in Philippians 3, 4 through 14. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has the ability to trust, he said, I do more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, I was blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency, listen, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as refuse, that I may win Christ. And I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may gnosko him, that I may know him intimately, not from the Bible itself, but from experience, that I may know him, glory to God, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained. In other words, I'm not living though I've arrived. Neither do I live like I'm already perfect, but I chase after that which has been put upon me. I try to apprehend, grab the thing that has grabbed me of Christ. You understand what Paul is saying? I try to get a hold of what has gotten a hold of me. I try to reach the Christ who has reached me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not arrived. But this one thing I'm doing, I'm forgetting everything that's in my past, and I'm reaching to those things that are in my future. I am pressing towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is a passage of atmospheric conditioning. I will not walk in the atmosphere of past failures, but I will walk in the hope of future successes. I'm not going to hold on to what happened to me, but I'm going to preach and press towards future victories. Amen. I'm changing the atmosphere. Don't come into the house of worship without worshiping. Nothing is too difficult for thee. The dynamic of change starts in atmospheric conditioning. You must think in terms of being victorious. You're a winner because you're in Christ. You ought to have spiritual swagger and tell the devil, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, are not worthy to be compared to what's about to come out of me.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1316P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park. The Shamity.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.